Here's the gospel according to the Lord. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants. Servants, it's the word doulos in the Greek. It means slave. Translated here as servant. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one and 2 bags of silver to another and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And then he went away on a long trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The word is not really invest there. It's a word that means worked for and or earned. Not simply invested, but worked for and earned. It's kind of a rare word in the Greek New Testament. The only other time it's used in the Gospel of Matthew is when Jesus is talking about going out and making amends with somebody that has a difference with you. And he's talking, uses the same verb to say that when you've worked with that person, you've brought them back to the Lord, and he commends them for bringing people to the Lord. And so in this whole passage, as it's talking about serving people, it always has in the background the reason that you're serving people is in the hopes that they will come to know the Lord. That little verse or word has that background in it. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went out to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver, he just dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest. I've earned 2 more. The master says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling these 2 bags. Now you're going to get more. So let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. And I was afraid that I would lose your money. So I buried it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew that I harvested crops that I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? And at least I could have gotten some interest on it." And then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." A phrase that Jesus uses several times in the Gospels, a place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not necessarily what we refer to as hell, but it was known as an idiom in Jesus' day as a place of where you were not going to enjoy the blessings of God, whatever they might be. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this, your word, and pray that you would enable me to speak some words about it that will be clear and true and encourage every one of us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go right back to the parable. I think the parable is pretty clear. Usually parables are allegorical. And you can, it wasn't, if I would, I'll ask you guys, you tell me. Who is the master who goes away for a long trip after giving his servants some gifts? Who is that guy? Jesus. He's going away for a long trip. And he's going to come back again someday. That's what this parable, one of three in Matthew 25, is reflecting a kingdom parable in which Jesus in all three of them is going away for a while, but he promised in chapter 24 he would come back. And so in that meantime, here's three parables about what it means to participate in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the one. He's entrusted his servants with, it uses the word here, money. It's not a good translation. The word is best translated talent. He gave the one 5 talents. He gave one 2 talents. He gave another one talent. Now, a talent is not the ability to sing and play the guitar. It's not that kind of a talent. In the original language, a talent was a weight. It was a weight. And it was a weight that was used to measure precious metals. Could have been gold or silver or copper or anything like that. And that's why this translation has money. But to limit it to money is to not give the word its due reward. For talent, well, let me tell you this. A talent was 3,000 shekels. And they generally said that a talent, the weight of a talent, is all the weight that one man can pick up. Now, I know that that's different depending on how stout the man might be. You know, I can't pick up very much, but if you get Jake over here, Jake could pick up a lot more than me. And so it's a little bit different there. But you get the idea that a talent is pretty heavy. And when he gave 5 talents of silver or gold or something, it was a fortune, basically. I read in one of my commentaries said that it was a lifetime's salary. Those 5 talents that he gave somebody represented a lifetime salary. But talent is much more than just... here's Robert McQuilkin in a little book called Our Lord's Parables. The talent represents not the special abilities of the servants of Christ, but the capital he gives them to work with. That is, the opportunities for service together with all their material, personal, and spiritual gifts. So a talent is basically anything that we've got that we can offer to the Lord. That's what a talent is. And he gives these talents to these guys, and he tells them to invest. The major point of the parable is God expects a return on his investment, right? I mean, that's when he comes back. He's coming back someday. He's given something to all of us. He expects a return on his investment. This is another commentator. This is Leroy Lawson. And he has this to say about that point of the parable that God expects a return. The principle that energizes Jesus' narrative is this: a servant belongs to his master. Therefore, all that he produces or earns also belongs to his master. And the master expects to profit from his servant's labors. No servant can say, "I am my own. What I do is my business. I am number one in my life." He is not independent. He belongs to his master. God expects a return on his investment in all of us. The point of the parable is not how many talents we have. The point of the parable is how we use what we have, okay? That's the point of the parable. Sorry. You ought to be. Sorry. Anyway, the point of the parable is not how many talents we have, but how we use what we've been given. William Barclay, the parable tells us that whatever talent we have, little or great, we must lay it at the service of God. We must lay it at the service of God. We're talking about, I know I'm kind of seeming like I am, I'm kind of stumbling around here. I'm giving you too much to think about. The point of the parable is that God has given all of us something that can be used in order to serve the Lord enthusiastically. That's where we're at. We're talking about being servants of Christ. In this book by Richard Foster, Celebration of Disciplines, he's talking about serving. If you haven't heard anything else, listen to this. A natural and understandable hesitancy accompanies any serious discussion of service. The hesitancy is prudent since it is wise to count the cost before plunging headlong into any serving. We experience a fear that comes out of something like this: if I do that, people will take advantage of me and they will walk all over me. Well, right here, we must see the difference between choosing to serve and choosing to be a servant. Hang in there. When we choose to serve, we are still in charge. We decide whom we will serve and when we will serve. And if we are in charge, we will worry a great deal about anyone stepping on us, that is, taking charge over us. But when we deliberately choose to be a servant, like Christ is calling us to, we give up the right to be in charge. When we choose to be a servant, we surrender the right to decide who and when we will serve. We become available and vulnerable. Available and vulnerable. Words that sound foreign to our ears. Who wants to be available and vulnerable? But that's what servants of Christ are called to be. Available and vulnerable. That's what Jesus was, after all. Though he existed in the form of God, he did not count equality with God as something to be held on to, but he divested himself of his heavenly power. And being found in appearance, being born as a human being, he humbled himself to the point of obedience, to the point where he's even died on a cross. And Paul tells us that we need to have that same attitude in that passage in Philippians. What we're saying today is, it doesn't matter how many talents we've been given. What matters is how we use what we've been given. And the truth of the matter is, there's some of us here that are one talent people. Not everybody's a five talent person. Not everybody's a two talent person. But we all have at least one talent. There's this hesitancy when it's like, I only have one talent, Lord. What do I have to offer you? What difference will it make? Is the tendency that we may have to think that I don't have anything to offer the Lord. But that's not true at all. And if you've ever hesitated before offering to serve the Lord and commensurate it with the gifts and the talents and the skills and resources that you've been given, because you think, I'm just a one-talent person and what I'm going to do is not going to make a hill of beans difference to anyone, then we just need to understand that the Lord uses even us one-talent people to do wonderful things to build his kingdom. When Taskin came in the church the other day, he offered the one talent, two talents. He gave me a hug and told me he loved me. And just a little thing like that, sometimes just a word precisely spoken at just the right time can make all the difference between life and death for somebody. Just a word of encouragement. Some of you volunteered your time to help out at that Labor Day party a week from today. And perhaps it's tempting for you to think, it's not very important for me to haul down some chairs and some tables down to the beach. What good can that do for the kingdom of God? Or, I'm going to be handing out, slapping some pulled pork on a bun and handing people sandwiches. That's not very important. And yet, when we have that kind of thinking, then we do a disservice to the intent of the Scriptures and the Lord Jesus, because the Lord can use even the simple act of filling a bun with pulled pork and handing it to someone else with a smile. The Lord can use that to help build his kingdom. We had two people standing up here, two parents, that is, and a grandma, who were standing up here a while ago dedicating mercy to the Lord's service. That mother told me at Pizza with the Pastor last week, Tara, when I asked them, why are you guys in this church? Can I speak for you, or I'll let you speak for yourself if you want? Tara says, because I love the way that this church is involved in the community. And she heard about Crosspoint through the things that we were doing in the community, like the Labor Day party next Sunday. When you stand there as a person from Crosspoint Community Church, handing that pork sandwich over to somebody, or setting up the tables like you've agreed to do, Tom, thank you so much for bringing your trailer. And when we're doing things like that, just going down and doing what seemingly mundane little things like that, It all adds up, and the Lord uses all those opportunities to draw people closer to Christ, because Christ is being represented in what we do, whether it's down there at the Labor Day party, whether it's next coming Friday at the community dinner, whether it's when we go out on one of our gather to scatters and we go into the community to help. It's a word that you might speak to a neighbor. Whatever you offer to the Lord, what I'm saying is, be encouraged, those of you who hesitate, thinking that you're not very important in the kingdom, because you're very important in the kingdom. You are. What did Paul here say a while ago? Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing that you do for the Lord is ever useless. We just all need to get that up here. No matter what we do for the Lord, even when there's a tendency for us to think, I don't have much to offer. No, don't think that way. Be encouraged today that whatever you're offering to the Lord, if it's done in the name of the Lord, then there's a great return on that investment. And Jesus will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He even said one time, even if you give a cold cup of water, just a simple cold cup of water, to the least of my children, you will be greatly rewarded. So Jesus is trying to teach us that principle. Just a little cup of water? And Jesus says, if you do it in my name, you'll be greatly rewarded, because it has a great kingdom impact. So the Lord uses us, and it's a wonderful honor and a privilege to be used by the Lord, offering Him whatever we have, whatever kind of service, whatever kind of gift, whatever kind of volunteer hours. Those of you who are going to volunteer to put that television up in that wall in there, please be aware. I mean, you don't have to know this, but the kids' divorce recovery is going to watch that television, and that's going to minister to the children who watch that video. And so you're by putting up that television set while you're screwing those screws in there, just think, wow, the Lord is going to really use this moment for these children. They're going to be impacted for the kingdom. Whatever we do. I close with a story that I read. I could not help but tell you this story about a pediatrician. A pediatrician, he's a Christian, he's in a church, and he's aware of this story. First of all, his wife teaches Sunday school. And she has a Sunday school class of 7 or 8 year olds or something like that. And she's teaching this very principle that I'm telling you all today about, have, you know, no matter what you give, even if you think it's not important, if you offer it to the Lord in His name, then the Lord's going to use that, and you're going to get, you know, it's going to be wonderful. And she's teaching these kids, 7 and 8 year olds, and there's a little girl in that class named Sarah who raises her hand and says, teacher, what can I do for the Lord? I don't have very many abilities. And the teacher wasn't ready for that question for some reason. And she admitted, she looked around the room and saw an empty vase on a shelf. And she was inspired to pick up that empty vase. And she handed the empty vase to little Sarah and said, next Sunday morning, would you put a flower in that vase and bring it to Sunday school class? And little Sarah said, that's not very important. What difference could that make? And the teacher said, well, it would brighten up the room, and it reminds us that God is the creator of us all, and it will make us all happy. And if it's done in the name of the Lord, then you should do that. So sure enough, the next Sunday morning, Sarah brought one daffodil and she put it in that vase. And she began to do that every Sunday. For like 6 or 7 Sundays, she was very faithful about bringing one daffodil, and she put that in that vase. The Sunday school teacher happened to tell the pastor about it, who was so taken by it that he asked for that vase and put it on a little stand next to his pulpit and preached a sermon that Sunday about how so very important it is for us just to even offer the Lord whatever we've got, and God can use it. And he kind of preached a sermon like I'm preaching right now. After he preached that sermon, later that week, this pediatrician gets a call from Sarah's mother. Sarah's alarmed because Sarah's losing a little weight and says she's not feeling well, and he's their family doctor. So they bring little Sarah in for the tests, and after a battery of tests, this doctor's in his office. When he gets the results, he's sitting at his desk, and little Sarah has leukemia. And he determines he's going to drive right over to the parents' house because he's their friends. They even live in the same neighborhood. And he's going to give the bad news about Sarah having leukemia to the parents. And he does so. Over the next several months, Sarah goes downhill. She loses her smile. She loses her hair. She loses all kinds of weight. One day he got another call. Mother says, "Can you come over and see her?" This pediatrician goes over. He does an examination. He knows in his mind that she's probably not going to last more than a week. The following Sunday, as the preacher is finishing up his sermon, he suddenly stops preaching, looks to the back of the sanctuary. His eyes are wide open. Everybody in the congregation turns around to see, and here's little Sarah, and her parents brought her in one last time so she could say goodbye to everyone. And she had in her hand one daffodil. And her parents let her go, and she walked to the front of the church, and the pastor stood there as Sarah put that daffodil in that vase that was still there with a little piece of paper that was all folded up and laid it there. And then she went back and sat with her parents until the benediction was over. On Thursday of that week, Sarah died. And at the cemetery, the pastor of the church called over this pediatrician and his wife, who was the Sunday school teacher, and said, "I want you to see this piece of paper. I think you really need to see this," and handed it to the pediatrician, who unfolded this piece of paper and read what Sarah had written in pink crayon. And it simply said, "Dear Jesus, this vase has been the greatest honor in my life. Thank you, Sarah." One daffodil. It indeed is an honor and a blessing to serve the Lord who gave so much for us. And I close with these words that come 5 verses after the parable that we read this morning. "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." And these righteous ones that Jesus is talking to says, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it unto me." So this has been a message today that I'm trying to encourage you to know that whatever you offer to the Lord, even those of us who think that we're just a one-talent person, whatever you offer to the Lord Jesus will take what you have to offer and he will make it useful in his kingdom for his name's sake. "You've done it unto me." Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words from Jesus and pray that they would inspire our hearts and so that we might recommit ourselves to knowing that that you will use us for your glory. And what an honor and a privilege it is to serve the risen Lord, the one who gave his all for us. And so we give what we can back to you. Comes in many different ways: our resources, our talents, our time. I thank you for all the efforts of all the good people at Crosspoint and for all that we are enabled by your grace to accomplish in our very midst and in this community. And pray that the church here will be a light, a beacon to those in this community. And we pray for this event that's coming this Friday as we have opportunity to serve a free meal to folks. And we pray that your blessing upon the event next Sunday. And ask, Lord, that you would put us in a position to offer your grace to whoever we come in contact with that day, that your kingdom might be served through us. It's an honor and privilege. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.